shall reign, amen, forever and ever and ever and ever, amen, and ever, amen. He shall reign, praise God, and he calls us to reign with him. Amen. We're destined, determined in his grace to be rulers with him. Amen. What a great hope and a great promise. Amen. That we would rule with Christ. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Before I preach, thank you, choir. What a great job. I have a little something I want to hand out. Chris Wolverton was baptized. He went to the deaf conference and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ at the Abundant Life Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he works on Sundays, so he's here today. Amen. And we want to congratulate him. Nothing like somebody being born again. The Bible says Jesus called us to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. And so he completed part of that process, being born through the waters of baptism. Amen. And now he can be born in the Spirit of the Lord. I'm glad you're here today. Turn around to somebody next to you one more time. Shake their hand and say, man, you look good in church. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. Amen. Yesterday we had a funeral in here for a small baby that was born premature. And Elise is, I believe, on her way to church today after burying her baby yesterday. How hard and how difficult that is. And the only thing that makes it easier is there's coming a resurrection day for each and every one of us. Amen. He promised that we would be resurrected. And that's the hope we live off of, amen, and gain strength from, is that there is a resurrection coming. Amen. Amen. So I want to preach today for a few minutes, John chapter 3, verse 16. If you were in Sunday school class, you read part of this. If you're in here in the adult class, you read part of this, but I want to read just a little bit further than the lesson. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. He defines what that condemnation looks like, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. The dividing line between people who come towards the light and people who go away from the light, Jesus said, is this. Amen. If your deeds are evil, the light drives you away. But if you have a heart that wants good, amen, you're drawn towards the light. You're just naturally drawn towards the light. I thank God that one day I was drawn toward the light, and I'm still drawn toward the light today. Amen. The light of His great love and mercy still draws me. Amen. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Man, don't we see that played out today in our society? Amen. That men who love evil hate light. Men who love evil see light as the problem, see light as an issue. They want to put out the light because the light causes them discomfort. They're discomforted under the light. Verse 20, for everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And again, many do not want their deeds reproved. They revel in the evil that they do. But verse 21 says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought of God. They're not of ourselves. Amen. He that hath made us, amen, has put within us his spirit. Amen. And the deeds are not our deeds, but they're his deeds. And I want to preach about that for a few minutes. Would you bow your heads with me and pray as the Lord helps us look at Christ lives in me. God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for the hope that you've given each and every one of us that are drawn to the light. I pray, God, that today you would draw us to the light, that your Spirit joined with us in preaching, in worship. Your presence is here in the room. Draw us, God, out of the miry clay. Put our feet on a rock to stay. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for that. Everybody said amen. Amen. Paul wrestled with this. Paul wrote, oh, the good that I would do. Oh, I can just see all of the wonderful things I'd like to accomplish and all the wonderful deeds and the wonderful behaviors and actions and results. I would love to see all of these positive things flow out of me, but evil is present with me. Sin leads me to behave in ways that I don't intend to behave. Let me start out very clearly. Jesus Christ came to the earth in order to die, in order to be buried, in order to be resurrected, in order to come again and fill you with His presence. Amen. His whole purpose in ministering, think about it, He only ministered for 3.5 years. What a short time to preach the gospel, to live as an example in front of mankind. But in that 3.5 years, He accomplished enough, amen, that when it came time, He said, I'm going to leave this place, but I'm not going away on my own. I'm going to leave something with you. I'm going to put something in you. I want you to understand a very basic principle. Wayne Daniel gave me these a few years ago, I think. It's been a while now, but this is a work glove. And I really, Wayne, if you're listening, if not, your wife will tell you, I love these work gloves. These are awesome. Maxi Flex Ultimate Sanitized ATG work gloves. Whatever that means, they're a little plastic here and a little flex back here, so you can really use your hands and they're not in the way. So it literally just wraps around my fingers, and I really like this glove. It's made, though, that it fits only one way. If you take it off and you try to put it on backwards, that's not the way it's designed to be used. The grip part is here, and this is a non-grip part. So if you try to use it, you're going to feel the construction work that you do. You're going to risk getting splinters or whatever in your hand, but using this is very nice. It doesn't get wet. Water doesn't soak through it. It repels water. It's great for paint. It's all kinds of things that it's great for. You don't care at all that this is a work glove. I'm just being descriptive for a moment because I want you to understand there is a principle that God lays out in Scripture. And the principle is, amen, without Christ, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that lives in me. I can do everything that I need to get done and everything that God intends to do, but that is only if I allow God to fill my life. Amen. And that spirit within me enlivens me. It causes me to live a certain way, to believe a certain way, to care for people, not myself, but to care for others. Amen. Because there's something alive inside of me. Amen. But Jesus went that far, and he explained it himself. John 17:22. And the glory which thou gavest me, he's saying in prayer, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. He's talking to his Father. Amen. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in me, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, loved them as thou hast loved me. And Jesus is trying to make it very clear. I am trying to connect man to God. I'm trying my best to fill man with God. John 14:10, he says it a little clearer. When he's talking to his disciples, he said, believest thou that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father. Some people wrestle with knowing what the Father is. Amen. The Father is the Spirit of Almighty God that dwelled in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. I am an empty vessel without the Father enlivening me. Amen. Causing me to work miracles, to say prayers, to reach out to people, to preach the gospel. It is literally the Spirit of God, amen, that enlivened Jesus Christ. And through the Spirit of God that was in the man Christ Jesus, he could say, peace, be still, and the winds would cease. He could say, your eyes will be open if you go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man would go and wash. The words came out of Jesus' mouth, but they were out of the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God speaking through him that enabled him to say, amen, rise, take up your bed and walk. It is the Spirit of God that was inside of him that changed everything. Jesus said, I could do nothing. I can't accomplish anything without something in me. Amen. So many times people in our world wrestle with the idea, well, I really want to live for God, but I'm finding it hard to live for God. I find that I keep making mistakes or doing dumb things and tripping over the same sticks that I've tripped over many times before. And the issue always is what are you living, allowing to live inside of you? What drives you? What calls you? Amen. What do you hunger for? Do you hunger for righteousness? Do you hunger for peace? Do you hunger for joy? Do you hunger, amen, for relationships that will benefit you? Do you hunger, amen, for righteousness? Do you hunger for the goodness of God? Do you hunger for the presence of God to fill you? It's well said, without God, we're empty. Without God in our lives, amen, we don't have the ultimate driver.
What drives us? What drives us to worship God? What drives us to raise our hand? What excites us when the singing's about the presence of God, the gift of God, the glory of God? What moves us? Amen. I'm telling you, it's what's within us. It's what's inside of us. Amen. It connects. It rings. When the Spirit of God begins to move, there's something that begins to move inside of me. Amen. It is in communion with God. It is in closeness with God. It feels God moving and God speaking to His people. And God saying, come, draw near unto me. Amen. Amen. Without it, what draws people to God? A sense of emptiness, but a longing for fullness. Jesus said it in the scriptures I just read. If you long for, righteousness, if you long to be good, if you long to be whole, if you long to be full, amen, that longing is a longing for God to come in and fill your life. You can never be what God wants you to be without God. Without the presence of God filling you, without the presence of God moving you, amen, without God speaking into your life and saying, hey, why don't you help that person? Why don't you help those people over there? Why don't you do something? Why don't you sacrifice a little bit of your time and your effort? Why don't you sacrifice a little of your finance? Somebody's hungry. Somebody's thirsty. Somebody's in need. Amen. Why don't you give a little bit of yourself? Amen. But what drives that is the Spirit of God that's inside of you, amen, saying, come on, let's balance the books. Let's equal things out. I'm not talking about equality in our common sense of the idea of equality, that everybody gets the same result no matter what you do, but it really matters what you do. It really matters how drawn you are to the presence of God, how hungry you are for the Spirit of God to move in your life. Amen. How much you really feel like, you know what? I need something more than just me. What's the problem with me? Well, me wants what me wants. Me wants what will make me comfortable. Me wants what makes me happy. What me want, amen, and sometime, even at the expense of others, me wants what me wants. I want what I want, amen. And I can't do that in Christ. I've got to be more interested in what He wants. I've got to be interested in what God wants to accomplish in our world. I believe God wants to reach and save every single person on the earth. There's not an exception. But I don't think that every single person on the earth wants to be saved. I don't think that everybody, amen, wants to be saved. Colossians 1:27 says it this way, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His majesty among the Gentiles. Amen. Think about that. The riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Who was Jesus? He was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. So God enlivened the flesh, and the Spirit of God did the work, did the healing, did the miracles, did all the things that Jesus did, was done by the Spirit of God that was inside the man, Christ Jesus. So I'm telling you today a very simple message. Jesus came to fill you up. Jesus came to fill your life. Amen. Jesus came to give you purpose. and the power to accomplish the purpose of God, the power to be a man of God, the power to be a woman of God, the power to walk in the Spirit, the power to pray a prayer and see the sick recovered, the power to pray a prayer. Amen. Titus preached on Wednesday night at the youth convention for Illinois, and what a great job he did preaching. One of the things that he said was, hey man, you can't have your old grandparents' prayer. You can't live off your parents' prayer. You've got to have your own prayer. You've got to have your own relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to be filled with the Spirit of God for yourself. Amen. Otherwise, you just find you're empty of power. I don't mean you're empty of purpose. Because if you're on the wrong hand, amen, and you allow something else to energize you, you allow selfishness to energize you, self-centeredness to energize you, amen, self-righteousness to energize you, amen, it's going to lead you down the wrong path. You're going to have the wrong behavior, the wrong results. But I'm telling you, God calls you, amen, because he wants to. Very simply, God wants to fill you up. The whole purpose, that's what he said. My whole purpose is that I would come and I would live in you. Jesus talked about he's going to prepare a place. He's going to go away, prepare a place for us. But he also said, I'm going to send a comforter unto you in John 14. And he comes back in John 16 and says, look, I want you to understand it. I'm coming to you. And the apostles get it exactly right when they say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what is in us? The Spirit of God that was in Christ is the same Spirit that dwells in us. And we have the same power, amen, because he has engrafted us in to the tree of life. Amen. We didn't belong in the tree of life, but he has put us in the tree of life. Amen. And now we are rulers and kings and priests with Christ. Amen. We have the power of God. Boy, I know we've got some guests in the room, but I thought somebody in the room might get a little excited. Amen. To say, that's exactly right. I've got the power of everlasting life living inside of me. I've got the power to pray and see my family saved. I've got power to pray and see my neighbor saved. I've got power, amen, that God gives me the same Spirit. It's not another Spirit. It's not a different Spirit. Amen. The Bible says, I read it to you, the Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, amen, one day it's going to quicken your mortal body. Amen. You're going to be caught up out of here, and we're going to live forever with him, amen, because of his power. The Bible talks about there being battles to fight, amen, challenges to face, difficulties. Even as a Christian, you're going to face challenges and difficulties. You're going to face fears and doubts. You're going to have unbelief, and you're going to wrestle with difficulties of life. You'll have difficulties of marriage. You'll have difficulties of children. You'll have difficulties of community. You'll have difficulties with the government. You'll have difficulties in every category of your life. Amen. But if you'll allow the Spirit of God, amen, to dwell in you, you'll be an overcomer through Christ. Amen. The Spirit of God will lead and guide you. The Word of God says his Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. So don't be mistaken. There are lies being told. There are lies being told about how you can live for God. Amen. But the Word of God is not a lie. It says you've got to be filled with him. You've got to allow Christ, amen, to literally fill your life. Too many times, listen to me, pay close attention to this. Too many times people are satisfied with God petting them every once in a while. Well, I felt the touch of God. Well, I remember that time way back, 62. 74. I just put down those, I better not say. And all of a sudden I felt God call me. I've had a lot of people tell me, well, I was in the bar and I was drunk one night and the Lord spoke to me. In fact, one of my good friends, I love his testimony. He pastors out on the East Coast, and Joshua went to his son's church for a long time. We sat with him. He's told me the story several times. He said, I was sitting at a bar in Hawaii, and all of a sudden something came over me, and I realized, hey, man, this is not who I was made to be. This is not the life I was made to live. God has called me to something better than this. Amen. He went and went to the nuclear bomb storage facility. Not a lot of people hang out at the nuclear bomb storage facility that the U.S. government denied we had during Vietnam. They were all stored on the island in Oahu. They were just off the dock so they could quickly load them in planes if they needed to use them. And he went to the storage facility and he told the guard there, he said, don't worry, I'll guard it tonight. You can be dismissed for the night. And he went into the nuclear storage facility, locked the door, got down on his knees, and he said he spent an entire night crying out to God, God, forgive me. God, wash me. You've called me for a better life than this. God, you called me to a better place than this. I don't want to be, God, who I've been. I don't want to live the way I've lived. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be self-centered. God, help me. And today, he is one of the greatest evangelists, soul winners. Amen. He was teaching Bible study in Washington, D.C., and Brother Mooney took a class up to D.C., and they said, we want to meet you. We want you to come and meet us at the train station right next to the Capitol building. And he said, well, I'm coming through. I've been teaching a Bible study at 6:30 in the morning. I had another one in another part of town at 7:30. I had another one about 9 o'clock in another part of town. And I had another one about 11 o'clock. But I'm coming through because I'm going to another Bible study at 1 o'clock. And so at noon, he brought the Bible school students in, and there's some places you can sit and eat, sandwich shops or whatever, and they sat down and listened to him tell. He was in his late 60s, early 70s, and he's telling people, you've got to know Jesus. Let me tell you how God pulled me out of darkness into his marvelous light. There was a call in my soul that said, I don't want to be who I've been. God, I want to be who you can make me. I want to see, God, what you can accomplish in my life. And it changed. It changed the entire trajectory of his life. From that point, as a GI, amen, with lots of responsibility, he became a preacher of the gospel. He started several churches across the East Coast, amen, because one day he said, you know what? I'm tired of being empty. And I need to be full. I want to be full of God's Spirit in my life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. Listen to me. Some people don't realize this principle. Amen. You're never going to be tempted beyond what you can endure. You're never going to be challenged beyond your ability to accomplish it. In fact, he said such temptation is common to man. I'll say it this way. There are lots of women who've been abused. There are lots of young men that have been abused. There are lots of folks who have committed murders. There are a lot of husbands who've mistreated their wives. There are a lot of wives who have done wrong to their husbands. There are a lot of people who have lost children. Amen. And Elise is in the house. No disrespect, Elise. Amen. But there are a lot of people that have lost babies. My wife lost a baby before it was born. We understand there's loss. We understand there's challenges. But don't you ever think that you're in the place that you are by yourself. amen, that nobody else has ever been where you're at. The Bible says you've never been challenged by anything that other people haven't been challenged by. People's families have been slaughtered. I was talking to a young man from Miramar, and he said, my city was torched and burned, and the entire city was destroyed. They believe there might have been villagers in that town that were fighting against the government. They certainly were disagreeing with the government, and the government, about 2 years ago, began to attack the city, and they firebombed the city, and they firebombed the church. And all the people that stayed in town, he lost relatives. They died because the military firebombed his area, bombed houses and buildings and downtown, and the whole area was completely burned out. And he said, but I escaped, and I'm here today to preach the gospel. That young man preached in our church in November. Amen. I'm telling you, people have suffered all over the world, but people are overcoming by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. They're able to overcome their difficulty. They're able to overcome their challenges. They're able to walk above whatever the enemy throws at us. Because when it comes in like a flood, the enemy tries to overwhelm you. Amen. There's a spirit within us that says, turn to me. Amen. Trust me. I fill your life. Amen. I'll lead and guide you. I'll guide your footsteps. Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Amen. And it leads you. And the Spirit of God will. The Spirit of God will guide you in your life. And you'll feel a Spirit of God tapping you on the shoulder. Amen. That's not the way you ought to do it. That's not what you ought to say. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't do that. Amen. And you'll feel God. And you can get calloused. Don't anybody in this room ever tell me that God isn't trying to speak to you. You may not want to hear it. You may have a calloused heart that you're tired of God tapping you on the shoulder. But you're not in a place, amen, that God isn't reaching for you. That God isn't wanting to fill your emptiness with his love and mercy. That God isn't trying his best, amen, to say that he loves you and will lead and guide you and then give you all the strength. Amen. Listen to me. All the strength that you need. He had all the strength, amen, to go to the cross. He had all the strength to say, Father, forgive them. Amen. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be cruel. You don't have to swear. You don't have to attack your neighbors. You don't have to defend yourself. Amen. Trust the Lord your God. He will fight your battles. He will make a way. Amen. He will overcome. He will give you the spirit that you need to accomplish. He lights your life. There's not one addict that can't be non-addict. There's not one alcoholic that can be, I'm just never going to overcome my alcoholism. My dad did, after his entire life smoking and drinking. At 55 years of age, he went down to the altar, repented of his sins, asked God to fill him with the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget the day my dad, who I'd lived with, who I'd saw drunk, who I saw doing all kinds of nasty things because of his drugs or his alcohol. Amen. He was so drunk, he didn't know what room he was in. And he would come home drunk, staggering. And I'm telling you, I'm glad I chose Jesus, because one day my dad chose Jesus. My dad said, I'm going to live for God. My dad laid down all of his drinking, all of his carousing, and began to live for God at 55 years old. I'm telling you, the the Holy Ghost will fill your life and change your life and wash away your old life and make you a new creature in Christ. God will change you. You won't even recognize. We got some folks here today. If I told you who they were 5 years ago, amen, they wouldn't recognize themselves 5 years ago. I can't make you do it. Amen. I can't make you do it, but I am doing my best. I'm trying to salt the ground that you're in. I'm trying to salt your heart and make you thirsty. All salt does, it makes you want more. A little more salt. Preaching is the best thing preaching can do, is salt your heart with a hunger. God, Paul wrote it this way. Oh, that I might know him. A God that loved me so much that he died for me. I wish you knew him like I know him. I wish you loved him like I love him. Amen. I wish you were filled like one day out of the chaos of my home and my family life, my brother's drugs and drinking and come home drunk and fight. My dad had come home drunk and my mom had fight. And we knew it was chaos. I went down to an altar. I said, God, I don't want to live my life. I don't want to live my life like this. I don't want to act like, talk like, fight like. God, would you please fill me? God, would your spirit fill me up? And when God did, I'm telling you, I've told this a number of times over the years. I shared a room with my brother, and in my bedroom, in the sock drawer, was marijuana. Talking about close. I'd open up the sock drawer and see the marijuana. And I'd say, there's no room. There's no room. There's no room for alcoholism in this life. I want to be filled with Christ. And I tell you what, Christ doesn't need marijuana. Christ doesn't need alcohol. Christ doesn't need drug addiction. Christ does not need that. Amen. Christ doesn't need illicit lifestyles. Christ does not need that. Amen. You fill your life with Christ. More people believe. For those of you that are guests, more people believe what I'm saying than are agreeing with me publicly. I have a few people agreeing with me publicly, but a lot more people are nodding their heads without moving their heads. They're nodding on the inside. Amen. But you put Christ in your life. I didn't say religion. I didn't say Pentecostalism. Put Christ in your life the way the Word of God says you can have Christ in your life. And it'll rewrite the way you think. It'll rewrite the way you live your life. All of a sudden, you want such different things. And God will take you into such better places than you've ever been.
I preached my brother's funeral. He spent his life addicted to marijuana. He leaned on it. He relied on it. It never gave him anything. I'm telling you, amen, if you give your life over to Christ, He'll give you everything you need and more. Stand with me, would you? The end of Corinthians 10:13 says, He'll not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You're not going to crack in Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment. Amen. Sometimes pressure light is can build and be tremendous. But I'll paraphrase that one more time. In Christ, you don't crack. In Christ, through Christ, in His power and His Spirit, He'll help you. All over the building, with your head bowed, I want to pray with you. Would you pray with me? Amen. God, I pray if someone came into this room without a hunger, I pray, God, that You would protect the Word of God that was preached today, because the enemy would want to, just as soon as we walk out that door, like birds in a field picking up seeds freshly sown, they would want to steal away the Word of God. I pray, God, that You would put angels' charge round about us to protect Your Word. Let it find a place in our hearts. The men walking on the road to Emmaus said, didn't our hearts burn within us as Jesus spoke to us? I pray, God, that You would burn in the hearts of the people who heard the Word of God today. Amen. That Your Spirit calling to them would be heard. Their ears would open. Hearts would feel the presence of God and the tugging of Your Spirit trying to draw, amen, wanting to fill. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God, do a work in the Spirit here and now. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Lord. I don't think I could end this service without at least offering you an opportunity. Is there anybody in the room that, man, you've come in heavy-hearted, you come in carrying a heavy load, feeling like you're going to crack under the load? Amen. Feel like the Lord has not been reaching, or the Lord's not been talking, and all of a sudden you realize He's actually been talking all along. Amen. I'm going to open up the altar. I'm going to invite you, if you'd like to step out. I know it's Easter, and I know you may have plans and family plans, but I got done a little early. Amen. Why don't you take advantage of the moment and step out and come down into the altar.